Recently, there was an article in WorldNet Daily, WND.com, which was based on a Daily Caller News Foundation story. This is the opening paragraph. Listen to this. Kentucky Christians who attended drive-in services on Easter, despite warnings from the governor to stay home over the coronavirus pandemic, were met by police presence and nails dumped in the road, the pastor of a Kentucky church said, end quote. We're going to talk about this right now with Art Moore of WorldNet Daily. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Art, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Jerry.
So, happy Easter, courtesy of the governor of Kentucky. That's an amazing story. Wow, I can't believe this.
Yeah, it really is, and unfortunately, it's reflective of so many other incidences across the country, not just on Easter, but during this whole season of sheltering in place during the coronavirus, and it raises some issues for Christians, certainly.
Well, the thing that is really important to highlight in this story is that they had come up, they being the church, had come up with a creative way to not get people infected, their own church members, visitors to the church, etc. And that was by using the drive-in service type of, you know, having a service through a drive-in type process. Obviously, not all churches can do that because they wouldn't necessarily have the lawns or whatever, or the parking lot to be able to do that. So they're not having the people congregate. They're not having the people, you know, 3 feet away from them, 7 feet away from them, whatever. So I don't understand why the state wouldn't just say, okay, fine, as long as you're not, you know, putting anybody at risk.
Well, right, and this is the issue, and it really comes down to a constitutional issue because, as we know, the First Amendment protects the rights of religious believers to gather, to worship. That's a fundamental right. And in fact, Bill Barr, the Attorney General, has come out very strongly on this. And he has actually weighed in on some of these cases. There was another church that has had a similar situation in Mississippi where the pastor was beaming the service via a low-power FM signal, and folks came into the parking lot and tuned in their radio, and his interest was, you know, in some folks who don't even have a computer, they're not into the digital age, and the way that they could hear the sermon. And police officers came and said, roll down your window. In fact, you can see a video online of somebody who was confronted by a police officer and issued a $500 ticket. Well, in that case, the Justice Department actually has issued a memo, and in that they lay out the case constitutionally. And so basically, it's up to the authorities to demonstrate. It's their burden to demonstrate that that there's a compelling interest for them to do this. And of course, we understand there's an interest in stopping the spread of this virus. We all want to do that. But the Constitution says that it has to be applied neutrally or generally, rather than targeting religious institutions. And also, it has to be done in the least restrictive way possible. And that's what we're talking about, is these churches trying to do it in a way that will help stop the spread. You know, we're going to stay in our cars, or we're going to have social distancing or whatever.
Yeah, you know, no, this is very important. So at the end of the day, a plague does not nullify the Constitution.
Right, and that's exactly what Barr said in a statement. He actually, in accompanying this memo, he issued a statement to the whole nation saying, hey, look, we're in an unusual time. We're in a time of emergency, but emergencies don't overrule the Constitution. We still need to protect civil liberties.
Now, I will say this. It does not help. In some cases, there are defiant pastors who say, we're going to meet, and we're going to meet in our building, and, you know, God's going to protect us, and so forth. And there's a sense in which you know, that's, it reminds me of one of the temptations of Christ, you know, where the devil said, oh, why don't you jump from this building? God will protect you. Psalm 91. By the way, that very Psalm 91, the one that the devil quotes, it talks about pestilences and God's protection, of his people, you know, from pestilences. And this is the very verse, the very Psalm that the devil quoted. And Jesus said, hey, don't presume on the grace of God. Don't put the Lord thy God to the test. So these pastors that will meet in the buildings and without the social distancing and so forth, without the common sense precautions that the CDC is saying we should do, they are not adding to the, they're not helping in this situation, if you get what I mean, Art.
Oh yeah, that's right. And this is interesting, you know, because it can be complex for Christians, because we remember, you know, the story of Peter and John, where they were told by authorities, stop going around and proclaiming the name of Christ. And they said, famously, we must obey God rather than men. But we're also commanded to obey, in Romans 13, to obey the authorities. And so what we're dealing with here, I think, is not necessarily an issue where, you know, the government is saying, as Christians, we're no longer going to allow you to meet. There's an overarching issue, and we have to say, yeah, we agree that if we don't agree with the policies, we agree with the overarching issue of stopping the spread of this virus. And so we're going to do all that we can to help in that, and we're not going to be defiant. But at the same time, we have a constitution
that
needs to be upheld. So I think there is a distinction, and there's always going to be arguments about, you know, whether or not, you know, these pastors who have been defiant. There was a pastor in Florida who was arrested in Louisiana, who's several times met in defiance of authorities, and I'm sure Christians are going to argue about that. But I think that,
and there's a couple who've died. They were denying the coronavirus, you know, at first, and now they're dead,
right.
Unfortunately.
Right, and there was in my area, there was a church choir, and this was some weeks ago, you know, when it wasn't quite as understood how serious this was. But there was a choir that got together, and 45 of the 60 members became infected, and a couple of them died.
Oh.
But so yeah, I think, you know, as Christians, we need to really understand what is the real issue here. And while there are cases where we have to defy the government because they are in direct opposition to God's law, you know, we saw that in Eastern Europe where there were various bans on gatherings or on having a Bible. But this is a situation where we can all agree, even if we disagree with policy, we agree with the interest of stopping the spread of this virus. And so we do need to be good citizens and cooperate. But these were cases where they were doing reasonable things, and some pastors pointed out, hey, look, liquor stores are open and drive-through restaurants, and so why can't we have a drive-through or a parking lot worship service while, you know, where we are actually doing everything that's required of us to make sure this thing doesn't spread.
No, I agree. I think it's criminal what some of these municipalities, or I guess in this case with the Kentucky case, that's the kind of the springboard of this conversation. The governor himself, the Democratic governor, Andy Beshear, he's been called now even a tyrant by some. Just think about this. Just 2 years ago, he eked out a victory over a guy that was a professing Christian, Bevins, I believe his name was, who was, you know, supported morally and so forth. Maybe the Christians stayed at home in the polls for whatever reason, you know, and then this guy comes in, and now he's like, oh, no, you can't have church, you know, not during this thing. But you can't even have drive-in church where there's no health issue at stake. Tell us about the nails. Is that, I mean, that's not only seems like it's unconstitutional, that seems like it's even criminal on the part of the Kentucky State Police, which allegedly are the ones who supplied the nails. What do we know about all this? Tell us.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen any indication of the source of the nails. It could have been, you know, some angry citizens who felt like they were, you know, doing their part. But it actually is reflective of, I think, a lot of the animus that people have for religious believers. And, you know, you're talking about the governor there who replaced one who was a very strong evangelical Christian. Well, certainly leadership matters. And, well, Florida.
God bless our governor now. He's terrific.
Ron DeSantis in Florida and also Greg Abbott in Texas, they both declared that attending religious services is among the essential activities. We talk about these essential, non-essential businesses or activities, and they both said, look, this is essential, and so we're going to accommodate religious believers in every way that we can.
Okay, tell us about other stories around the country related to this. I understand, for example, the mayor of New York City said something to the effect of, well, churches and synagogues will never reopen, or something like that. Like, wait, I couldn't have read that right. Are you familiar with that at all? Or
no.
His animus against them?
I'm not, but there certainly are a lot of other instances like that. One I found really interesting was, this was also in Kentucky, in Louisville, the mayor banned these drive-in services, and the church went to federal court, and this is really amazing. So they found the right judge, this judge, Justin Walker. It's worth reading from his decision. He said, on Holy Thursday, an American mayor criminalized the communal celebration of Easter. That sentence is one that this court never expected to see outside the pages of a dystopian novel or perhaps the pages of The Onion.
Wow. Which is a satirical website.
Reason, yeah, and unconstitutional. And by the way, this guy actually has been nominated to the D.C. Court of Appeals, which, you know, is the court that many candidates for the Supreme Court come from. So you understand where he's coming from, but he's a federal judge who really scolded this Louisville mayor.
Good.
So, you know, I think, you know, we have some people who are reading the Constitution correctly and understanding that a lot of these laws are being applied in a way that's not neutral toward religious believers.
You know, it's very interesting, too, to see these liberal leaders, some of these governors and mayors and so forth, that are very friendly towards abortion services. And there, think about abortion in terms of how could you, you know, practice a 6-foot separation of distance from another human being and be involved in that. So on the one hand, the abortion clinics, it's fine to let them run during this crisis, but not the churches, even this drive-in type churches where nobody is going to be violating the 6-foot rule.
Yeah, it's interesting because Planned Parenthood has used that terminology of essential services to argue for why they should be open, that it's essential that we continue to kill babies.
Okay, we have half a minute left to go. Well, at the end of the day, do you think the Constitution is going to suffer because of this temporary crisis? Lord willing, it's temporary, right? This too shall pass.
Well, I think it's an educational moment. I think with these statements and these memos and these cases that William Barr is issuing, people are understanding a little more about what the Constitution requires. And so going forward, it's probably a good thing.
Good. Art Moore with the WorldNet Daily, WND.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Art. All the best.
Hey, my pleasure, Jerry.
Stay safe.